One, two.
Thank you.
Matt, I was waiting on Ted. It's what okay. Okay, can I have your attention, please? Welcome to worship on Wednesdays. Good evening. Welcome to worship on Wednesdays. We're going to start tonight with a prayer request. Anybody? Prayer request? Morgan? Okay. She's still in the hospital? Okay. Anybody else? Lisa? Ted?
Praise my dad, you know. Yeah. Can't be served for good.
Okay.
And then my brother still in the medical college.
Okay. Anyone else? I want to add a special prayer request. Last Sunday, I put on the prayer list Elisha Mott. She's a sophomore at Brentwood, and she was just diagnosed with leukemia last weekend. This will be the third teenager this year that's been diagnosed with leukemia. We have lost one. We lost Dariana about a month ago. And then Charlton Kratz, who we found out last year had leukemia, we found out today that it has flared back up and they don't expect him to live. So I just really want to have a special prayer tonight. It's just really troubling to my soul that three teenagers, all the same age, have contracted leukemia within the last year and a half. To me, just kind of says something. Where, you know, in my mind, I'm thinking, especially in the same community, what's going on, you know, that's causing this? And I'm sure God knows and God has a plan and all this, but it's just really troubling to me that these young children or young teens are getting sick and dying of this tragic disease. So, Elisha Mott and Charlton Kratz. I also want to put the doctor I work for and her family on the prayer list. They've just really dysfunctional family, and she's got two daughters, one that's in middle school, one that's in elementary school, and they really need our prayers. They're in a bitter, bitter custody battle, and the kids are right in the middle of it. And I really, my heart hurts for them. Anybody else? Nick? Anybody else? Amanda? Okay, Jerry? What was his first name, Jerry? Ian? Oh, Ed. Okay. Ansberry. Okay. Anyone else? Carver. Oh, okay. Okay. Anybody else? Okay, let's just bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer. Dearest God in heaven, we bow before you tonight. giving you the glory and the honor and the praise that only you deserve. As we humbly bow before you, Lord, we give you thanksgiving for all the blessings in our lives, for all the things that we take for granted on a daily basis. Lord, we thank you. We praise you, Lord, in the good times, and we praise you in the bad times. We ask that you would forgive us of the sins that we have committed against you, that you would wash us with the blood of Jesus and make us whole again. Lord, we pray for the people on this prayer list tonight, and for each one of them, we pray that your will would be done. Lord, we pray for Justin's daughter, Chloe, for Bobby Rippey, for Ted Hatfield's brother and nephew that are in the Dominican Republic, for Nikki's family, especially her mom, for Ronnie, for Ed Ansberry, for Carver's dog. Lord, we lift a special prayer up tonight for Alicia Mott and Charlton Kratz and their families as they struggle in a fight against leukemia. Lord, we give you praise that Ted's dad came through his surgery well today, and we pray for his continued recovery. Lord, we lift each and every one of these up to you, and we pray for healing for those who are sick. We pray for safety for those who are in foreign lands. We pray for jobs for those who are jobless, homes for those who are homeless, and your love for those who feel lost and alone. Lord, as we go through this worship service tonight, let the words of our mouth be pleasing in your sight. Let everything we do be glorifying to your name. It's your name we pray. Amen. Okay, let's stand. We're going to sing. Start with Testify.
Thank you. you gave us. And in our belief and for who we eat, again, and more importantly, as we ask for your protection, to what we eat, what we breathe. We ask that every piece of food that we put in our mouth would be for healing, for sustaining, for giving us strength to live and work and bring glory to you, but not for being sick. I ask you to protect all these young lives, all children, youth and adults. Just do your miracle, even in what we eat. And I ask you for a part of spiritual food, what we read, what we see, let everything be for bringing glory to you, for us to grow in your spirit, to grow for your kingdom. You are what we have. This is the only one we have in this life. If you are not with us, if you abandoned us, if we didn't have you, we wouldn't be living anymore. We would just perish and disappear. But by your mercy, by your love, we're still here. And we're here tonight to worship you, to be together, to see children, just to enjoy that we are together. We're not persecuted. We're not hiding. We openly come here tonight just to praise you and to enjoy this time being with you. I am for every person tonight here, for every heart, young or old. Touch with your Holy Spirit and let us see you. Let us see your presence. We're asking for more love, for more power, for more of you in our lives. Jesus, be with us.
Thank you.
We've got a video of a prayer time. Do you want to?
Thank you. beautiful music to God because of the song. Because the song is his favorite song of all. You ever heard it? When she showed that video of the beautiful waterfall and all of God's beautiful creation, that's maybe your second or third favorite CD. If you're God, I'd be one. Awesome waterfall, I think. You know, what should have been perfection, you know, before sin. But he listens to all these things. Man, listen to the wind, I made that. Listen to it blowing through those beautiful trees that I made. Listen to all that. You know, like I saw the video, he put it all in the screen at the same time. But then this song says, but his favorite song of all is when a lost sinner is saved. When a lost sinner cries out to God, he said, that's his favorite.
Brandon, and but I want to. I was reading up here when Savannah said, "Bam, bam, we need to start." But I was reading something here. So while the musicians are sitting out, I just want to read this. There was a Bible turned to Mark 9 when I stood up here, and I was reading the life lesson on the side, and it says, "Some of you pray like a Concorde jet, smooth, sleek, high, and mighty. Your words reverberate in the clouds and send sonic booms throughout the heavens. If you pray like a Concorde, I salute you. If you don't, I understand. Maybe you are like me, more a crop duster than a Concorde. You aren't flashy. You fly low. You seem to cover the same ground a lot. And some mornings it's tough to get the old engine cranked up. Most of us are like that. Most of our prayer lives could use a tune-up. Some prayer lives lack consistency. They're either a desert or an oasis. We go days or weeks without consistency, without consistent prayer, but then something happens. We hear a sermon, read a book, experience a tragedy. Something leads us to pray, so we dive in. We submerge ourselves in prayer and leave refreshed and renewed. But as the journey resumes, our prayers don't. Others of us need sincerity. Our prayers are a bit hollow, memorized, and rigid. More liturgy than life. And though they are daily, they are dull. Still others lack, honesty. We honestly wonder if prayer makes a difference. Why on earth would God in heaven want to talk to me? If you struggle with prayer, I've got just the guy for you. Don't worry. He's not a monastic saint. He's not a callous-kneed apostle, nor is he a prophet whose middle name is meditation. He's not a too-holy-to-be reminder of how far you need to go in prayer. He's just the opposite, a fellow crop duster, a parent with a sick son in need of a miracle. The Father's prayer isn't much, but the answer is, and the result reminds us, the power is not in the prayer, it's in the one who hears it. And that just really struck me as I was standing up here reading. You know, as I said earlier, I've really had a lot on my heart with the illnesses of these teenagers. And when Jessica texted me this afternoon and told me, you know, that Charlton was worse, you know, I thought to myself, God, do you hear us? You know, what's happening here? And I don't know about y'all, but that journey right there is the journey I go through in my prayer life. I go from here, to back up here again. It's like a roller coaster that's never consistent. But the moral of this is, it's not what we say. God knows our heart, and He hears it. And as the Bible says, when we feel like we don't have the words to say, the Holy Spirit will take what's in our heart and bring it to God. And I just wanted to share that because it just touched me when I was reading it up here. Brandon, come on up.
Yeah, doing all right tonight. I heard about three people. First off, I want to... I apologize. Kind of stopped up a little bit. Be all right. Second of all, how great is our God? I'll tell you what. Can I get an amen? Somebody say amen. I mean, we got two people, so somebody's excited about the Lord here tonight. I'm gonna bring God's word. Speaking on God's word. The main text that I'm going to be speaking from is Hebrews 4, chapter 4, verse 12 through 13. But before I get started, I want to have a quick word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time that you have given us, Father. Father, I ask that tonight, God, that you just take down every wall, Father, that you remove every stumbling block, Father. Father, open every ear. Father, open every eye, Father, and make ready the heart of every person in here tonight, including mine, Father. Father, may my ears be open to your words, Father, and may my lips be ready to speak your word, Father. May it be mine, or yours and not mine. Father, I ask that if there is a person in here tonight, Father, who does not know you, Lord, I pray that through your divine will that they may come to know you, Father. And may come into a closer walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. bear with me. Nikki, she asked me to speak a while back, and it was just a no-brainer. It was one of the first things that came to mind. It kind of has a little bit of a backstory to it. I'll get into that after I read it. It says, "For the Word of God is living and effective and sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating as far as to divide soul, spirit, joints, and marrow. It is a judge of the ideas and thoughts of the heart. No creature is hidden from Him, but all things are naked and exposed to the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account." My roommate, Corey, one day, he texted me this, and it just really struck his heart in a way that the Word of God actually physically affects us. Like, it touches us physically. Like we don't just... It physically moves us. Some would say emotionally, you know. Some would say spiritually. And maybe some agree with me physically. And I agree with all those things. For the Word of God is living and effective. Okay, living. I don't know if you understand this or not, but have you ever heard anybody say the Word become flesh? If you've never seen that before or never realized it, because I'm sure you've all seen it, you may just not have realized it, it's a truly remarkable thing. To see something that God has said, the way people will respond to something, the way people will treat you, the things that He will do for you if you trust in Him, to see those things being fulfilled in your own life or in the lives of others is just, it blows your mind. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating as far as to divide soul, spirit, joints, and marrow. Now think about the marrow of your bones. That's the very center of your being. The very center. There's nothing that the Word of God can't touch you. There is nothing in you that the Word of God cannot touch. It divides your soul and your spirit. One reason why I felt really led to speak about this, I have here in the past, month or two, there have been a bunch of people, Christians, I might add, that have called me and just like, "Oh, I'm going through such a hard time. I can't do it anymore. You know, this is going wrong, and this is going wrong, and this is happening, and this is happening." And I asked them, I'm like, how are you praying about it? You know, like, have you been praying about it? "Yeah, I've prayed everything I know to pray. I just can't take it anymore." Next question I asked them, "Well, when's the last time you read your Bible?" Just about every single time I've asked that, I don't know. I ain't really had time. I can't really even remember the last time I read my Bible. Now, before I go on, I can't be a hypocrite, because one of those people that I have come across in the past month or so has been myself. I have hit struggles and stumbling blocks, and I'm praying, crying out, "God, why don't you help me?" And He's like, "Why don't you read my Word?" You know, and so. But it really struck me, as Christians, we expect God to be like, "Okay, here you go. Here's all my blessings, and here's everything, but I don't really expect you to read my Word and know anything about me. You know, you can just call yourself a Christian and then, you know, just..." Personal conviction here. Our pastor stood up. He was in church one Sunday. He kind of got to talking about this, and he asked the congregation, He said, how many in here, if somebody come to you about divorce and wanted to know about divorce, how many in here could pick up your Bibles and turn right to it and point to them scriptures concerning divorce? Do you know how many people in my church raised their hand? One. And it wasn't me. Now, maybe there was some in there that knew it and just didn't raise their hand. I don't know. But like I got thinking, like I was racking my brain, I'm thinking, Matthew. My roommate, Corey, he was like, Matthew. But, like, at the time I was thinking, I was like, I wouldn't know where at Matthew. And if I did, if I went to Matthew, could I really be able to explain to them why you don't get divorces? Why divorce is a bad thing? Like, could I break God, could I open God's Word up to them and explain to them? And it was really convicting. Now, I hear far too often from people, you know, I don't think you have to go to church to be a Christian. Yeah, just church, you ain't got to be in a church house every Sunday to love the Lord. Okay. I understand that. Walking in a church building don't make you a Christian. But it also says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves. Now, when you tell them that, they're like, well, I just don't like being around Christians. They're always judgmental, and they're hypocrites, and they're this, and they're that, and you know. And I've come across people who have told me things about Christians that I'm just like, man, like a Christian told you that? And it makes me wonder how far the Christian church has fallen since when Christ established it. Since all the apostles built churches, how far have we fallen? I mean, to call ourselves Christians, when we was in, where did we go? Acoma, yeah. When we was up there, I was talking to some of the youth, and I was telling them, do you ever just sit around and think about who God is? Who Christ is? Just not necessarily in your life. Not who is Christ in your life. But think about if you were a non-believer and somebody told you about Jesus and you had just met Jesus for the first time and you just sat around and thought about it. Because this is the thing. This is the when Christians, when people first come to Christ, they're on fire. They're ready for it. They're just, they take down the world. 3 months later, they're just, oh, well, yeah, I'm a Christian. Yay. And it's just like, far too often, I hear, well, here's a warning. When, like, and that's how new Christians is. And it's, well, be careful because this fire won't last for long. It'll go away. How discouraging is that? Yes, I can understand. I understand because I've been there. I've been on mountains, and I know you have valleys. I fully understand this. But the fire will go away. No, boy, it'll, if you hide it under a bowl, it will. I'm going to try to stay on subject. I'll get up here and start ranting, and I won't do that. I promise you. I won't put y'all through that. It is a judge. Now catch this. This trips me out. It is a judge of the ideas and thoughts of the heart. Like not only is it a judge of how you live your life, and how, you know, when you head to church, you blow somebody off the road, and scream at them, and you know, heaven knows what else. You know, then you go to church, you know, shake hands and hallelujah and praise the Lord, you know, and then, you know, it's just like, well, what about the little old lady that's about right off the road in my church? You know, it not only does it judge that, I mean, and I'm not calling anybody out here, I'm speaking of personal experiences, but like, my thoughts, even my thoughts that I have. A couple times a day at work, I've been sick, been a little irritable, just hadn't really felt like doing much of anything except sleeping. And just started a new job, so it's kind of all new, you know, and just things are going, you know, they're not so smooth as they're going to be. There's been a couple times a day I'm just like, boy, I tell you. And God's right here. He's like, Brandon, why are you letting your anger control you? And I open up the Word, and it's just like, I read about anger, controlling yourself, being clear-minded. It's just like, mess that up again, Lord. But it's kind of like Miss Pam was saying, it's not about what you say and what you do, it's about our God. I mean, we can't fully wrap our minds around how forgiving and how loving God is. No creature is hidden from Him, but all things are naked and exposed to the eyes of Him, who we must give an account. Okay. Here's the thing that I just, it gets me, and it don't get me because other people say it, it does, but it gets me because I think this, and I kick myself in the tail end every time I catch myself thinking this. It says, the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. That means that one day we are going to stand before our most holy God, and He is going to look us in the eye. And I'm going to tell you, I talked to a woman one time, and I was very immature in my faith. Not young, immature. I just hadn't fully grasped it. I was just, you know, conjuring up my own ideas about, you know, who God was. And, you know, and I was talking foolishly, and she was saying, do you realize that when you come before a holy and a pure and a righteous, perfect God, you will not be able to stand. You won't be able to think clearly. There is nothing in your life that will be good when you come in the presence of the Lord. Nothing that you've ever done will be worth anything because He is so holy and so pure. And I got to thinking about that, you know, and in my mind I always thought, you know, like, you know, I meet the Lord, I'm going to, you know, slap His hand, give Him a high five, you know, and then, you know, be on my merry way. No, I won't. No, I won't. Because I am going to be humble to the point where I will be just unable to function. I mean, that's what I mean about thinking about who God is. He conquered the grave. I mean, people on this earth have done some pretty amazing things, but I can't think of only one. I can only think of one who conquered death, who defeated Satan, who can forgive us of our sins. There's only one, and I mean, that's pretty impressive. I hear far too often, oh, He'll forgive me. He'll forgive me. Yeah, the Lord forgives you. But if this is sin, forgive me, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. That means divvy. That don't mean nothing. He ain't listening to your words. He could care less about what your mouth is saying. It's what your heart's saying. If your heart ain't in it, then you're just wasting your breath. Got another one here. Let me find it right quick. Isaiah 55:10-11. For just as rain and snow fall from heaven and do not return there without saturating the earth and making it germinate and sprout and provide seed to sow and food to eat. Here we go. So my word that comes from my mouth will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I please and will prosper in what I send it to do. Best example I can think of. And I'm sure there's somebody in here who's done this. Probably a few in here who's done this. You'll be going through just something terrible. Just, oh, man, just can't take it anymore. And you're just, God, I don't know what to do. And you're just down and out. And you walk up and you pick up your Bible and you throw it open and it's just like, here it is. It's just like as soon as you open it up, it's just like, here you go. Here's the answer. Here it is. Has anybody ever done that? Okay, yeah. We got plenty of people in here. When He sent His Word out, when He spoke the Word, He had each and every one of us in mind. He said, you know, there's going to be time in Brandon's life when he is going to need this. And what's really cool now, if you really want to get deep about it, which it will, if you think back to everything before that led up to that exact moment, like you'll be out somewhere and you'll be riding along, you look up and you see a sign that's got scripture on it, you're just like, whoa. Or you ride along, you look over and you see somebody with a Jesus emblem on their car. I mean, it's just like, man. I'll share one more scripture with you, and then I got a little story for you. I won't take up too long tonight. This is a short one. Proverbs 30, verse 5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who take refuge in Him. I tell you what, you can't get no better than that. Every word of God is true. Every single thing that God has said, will say, is saying right now is pure. There's nothing wrong with it. It's perfection. And it says right here, He is a shield to those who take refuge in Him. Meaning, it blows my mind. Children have the best understanding of an almighty protector, daddy God. I mean, you know, we get older, you know, we learn more, we study more. And I'm not knocking studying. Study up. I mean, I'm in no way knocking that. But it's like our minds, it's like, here's God. Well, our minds try to elevate above God. It's just like, what are you doing? Children have the best understanding of a daddy God. I there are times I pray and stand over my heavenly gracious Father. I'm like, you know what? Daddy, help me. Dad, Father, whatever it is. But it's just like you humble yourself and you make that connection to who God is to you. He will protect you. He is a shield for you. His Word, His Word will just deliver you. When you're stressed out, when you're down, pray. Yes, pray. But read His Word. Bow your head, say a short prayer. God, show me what I need. And open it up. And I promise you, I mean, not my words. So my word that comes from my mouth will not return to me empty. I mean, He sends out His Word, He picks you up and brings you back with it. He draws you to Him through His Word. Man, Corey, one day, his dad owns a rental business. And when I was short of work, I would go up there, you know, my days off and help him out. And we was up there one day. I got this guy's name right here. His name was Alan Fryer, or is Alan Fryer. And he come in, and I was reading in 1 Timothy, and he was talking about Paul was charging Timothy with devotion to public speaking, public reading of scriptures. And I just read it, and I didn't realize it. But when he walked in, I just read that, And I kept reading. And when Corey, when the guy left, Corey told me, he said, I wondered if he was going to keep reading. And it hadn't hit me that I just read it. And I thought about just cutting it out, just being quiet. But I kept reading, and, you know, I finished, you know, the verse. And he come over and he was talking to us, and you know, just small talk and everything. He was ready to go as soon as he walked in, and he started leaving. Well, first he was telling us, he was saying that he had just gotten out of hospital. Corey asked him, well, why was he in the hospital? I was having some bad thoughts. We didn't really push that. We pretty much drew the conclusion, you know, he was probably having thoughts of, you know, hurting himself or worse. So we're sitting there, and Corey asked him, he said, you know, hang out, you know, you can hang out. We're having just a little Bible study, you know, nothing major. And the guy said, I don't think I can handle it. And I thought, well, why can't you handle it? And he said, I think I'm just going to head on. Well, Corey started to read Hebrews, that verse I was reading, y'all. He started to read it. And this guy, he took a deep breath, and you could tell his breath was shaky, and his chin just started to tremble, and you could tell, I mean, he was just, this guy, like, that sharper than a double-edged sword, penetrating to the soul. It was just like, and I mean, it was doing it to this, like, it was right there. We were witnessing it. I mean, as Corey was reading it, this word was just touching this man's heart and just going to his deepest part of his soul. And Corey, you know, he finished reading it, and this had been laid on Corey's heart. And he was like, I don't know why this has been laid on my heart. He said, maybe it was for you. Maybe it was just for you. And, you know, the guy, he was just, I mean, you could tell. It was clear. Like, when the guy walked out, I looked at Corey and I was like, man, that was powerful. Like, I mean, it was just like God just took a cup of His Holy Spirit and poured it right out in Value Rentals. I mean, you could just, it was the Word coming to life. I encourage each and every one of you that says mine. Read the Word. Study the Word. It's life. I mean, okay, here's the cool thing. Here's the thing. You know, he's looking at me. I mean, look at that. You know, when he's looking at those pictures, and it's just like, wow. Look at what God can do. You know? I mean, it's just like, wow. He can make all this beautiful and magnificent stuff. And you know, I mean, we look around and we see young children, and it's just like, wow, you know, he creates life. And, you know, we look at our boyfriends and girlfriends or our spouses or our children, and it's just like, God, you're just so great. You know, look at what all He's given me. But we forget He talks to us. We've got His words right here. Anytime. That picture ain't going to be around forever. Likely not. And I say this as gently as I can. Your children ain't going to be around forever. Your spouse ain't going to be around forever. But this, it's not going anywhere. This book, this particular book, it'll eventually deteriorate and go away. But the Word of God will never fail. It's far that way as you can go, and it's as far that way as you can go. It doesn't stop. It has no beginning and it has no end. I mean, it's just if that makes sense. I mean, it's just. So I encourage each and every one of you tonight to get in the Word. Read the Word. Study it. Breathe it. Live it. And if tonight, if there's somebody who doesn't know Christ, who doesn't know, who has no idea, who just can't quite seem, just doesn't get this whole Christian thing, who's been like looking at Christians and seeing Christians us as Christians setting these lousy examples and just being nothing like Christ. If you just don't get it, but you just feel there's something there, then I encourage you. There's a proverb: the wicked flee, even though no one pursues, but the righteous are as bold as lions. I mean, come on now, man! I tell you what, I've watched the Discovery Channel. Lions—they're bold. They will punk anybody up. They ain't scared of nothing. If you feel God's call on your life, if Christ is saying, "Come to me, I will take your life. I'll just give me your life. I'll forgive your sins. I'll wash you clean. I will fix everything that's broken and wrong in your life. Just come to me." If you feel that call in your life tonight, I encourage you. A long time ago, God set a date for each and every one of our salvation. It was called today. Don't wait. Don't wait. It's not about, well, you know, I got so much to do. I'm not sure about it. You're unsure about love. You don't want to feel just absolute, magnificent, beautiful, overpowering love. You're waiting on that? Really? Because I'm telling you, you don't want to. We'll have a quick word of prayer. Then I ask if I could praise God. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the time that you have given us, Father. I thank you for the words that you've given me, Father. I thank you for your word, God. Father, I pray that tonight that each and every person, Father, if first and foremost, God, if there's someone in here who doesn't know you, God, I pray that if you placed a calling on their heart tonight, God, I pray that they will step out and be bold, Father.